and welcome to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. It's estimated that less than 13,000 undocumented students attend college in the U.S. This is due to difficulties of enrollment and oftentimes being charged higher tuition due to different statuses in different states. I recently heard about an initiative started by a group of college students in Chicago that I believe deserves national attention. The group of students are at Loyola University in Chicago, led by Catalina Cipri, feeling passionate about helping undocumented students become eligible for scholarship money. Now, from this belief, after speaking to the student body, it was voted that each individual at Loyola would have a $2.50 surcharge added to their tuition each year to establish the Majus Scholarship Fund. It is the first private educational institution in the U.S. that has established a scholarship fund for undocumented students. Now, Catalina is graduating a year early from Loyola. Just a little bit of background on Cat. She is an international studies major with a double minor in Arabic language and Islamic world studies, and co-president of the Latin American Student Organization, which co-founded the initiative. Catalina, you are a young woman with a lot of things going on. It's so nice to speak to you.
Oh, thank you.
Why was this something that was so important to you? You wanted to put energy and effort behind it. Take me to that place where it was something that you decided you wanted to galvanize and be involved with.
The Latin American Student Organization and the student government of Loyola Chicago recognized that there were so many students who were deserving of federal financial aid but were unable to receive it because of their status in the United States. And so a lot of these undocumented students who were at Loyola were working very hard to be able to afford a Loyola education. And so we recognized how deserving they were. We started meeting with the financial office at Loyola and other organizations on campus to figure out if there was any way that we could help financially support these students. And then so this conversation began in the fall of 2014. And then in the spring of 2015, we decided through the guidance of faculty and administration to have a referendum vote among the student body to see if they would like to add the $2.50 to the tuition fees. And it was accepted in it passed with a 70% majority, which showed that this was an initiative that the student body at Loyola really was passionate about. And ever since, we have been working towards creating these funds. And for me, it's been a phenomenal experience because it's opened the conversation about what it means to be an undocumented individual, let alone an undocumented student. And it has allowed for these students to feel more at home and a sense of community at Loyola, which I'm really grateful for.
You know, it's a really amazing effort that took place with you, your group, and the college at large, because in really a short period of time, a tremendous change took place. If only the government could work that way, right? In a year, this changed lives for people. And so how did these students react when you started speaking to them and when you suggested the $2.50 surcharge? Was it a really good reaction or did some people have issues with it?
There were issues with it, but it was received both positively and negatively. And so the initial reaction was, why is this something that we're worrying about? There's so many other issues that we can be advocating for. But then we realized that for both Latin American Student Organization and Student Government of Loyola Chicago, this was something that we felt really deeply about, especially because this was an issue on our campus that we realized didn't have to be this way. And so we tried our best to use the criticism that we got and use it positively towards creating more solutions that would encompass the perspective of the majority of students.
So when you went to the administration with this initiative, what was their initial reaction?
The initial reaction was that we need the Board of Trustees of Loyola Chicago would have to make the decision. And so we were receiving feedback, but we weren't necessarily receiving their impression of the scholarship or whether they support it or not. And so what was significant was that both in December of 2015 and 2 weeks ago, me and another individual, Flavio Bravo, who He was the president of the student government of Loyola Chicago during this initiative, and he was really the individual that has worked for the Majors Scholarship from the beginning until the end. He and I both had the opportunity to sit on the Board of Trustees as student representatives, and we were able to basically bring this initiative to them to explain why this initiative means so much for the students and how this could benefit Loyola as a whole by their approval of the initiative. And so they approved of the Majors Scholarship in December, and that has really allowed for the administration at Loyola to finally accept and show their support for undocumented students and this initiative.
I'm speaking with Catalina Cipri, who was very instrumental in establishing the Majors Scholarship Fund at Loyola in Chicago. And Catalina, you have an amazing background in your college career. I understand that you've had immersion experiences in countries like El Salvador and Guatemala. How do those trips inform your life and this initiative that you really started with Chicago Loyola?
So I had the opportunity to immerse in El Salvador, Guatemala, and then Tucson, Arizona, and Nogales, Mexico. And for me, all those experiences have been very transformative in the way that I understand my participation in society and how I make my choices. And so having immersed in these developing countries or even cities in the United States that are heavily affected by migration, I've been able to understand more closely like the realities of migration and the realities of migrants, and it has allowed for me to formulate a more well-informed perspective on immigration and why it matters so much to me. So specifically, when I was in Tucson, Arizona, we had the opportunity to go to the desert and to really understand the paths of migrants and how they're so dangerous and these extreme decisions that a lot of migrants have to face because they don't believe they have any other way of coming into the United States to obtain a better life.
So this really affected you very deeply. I can hear that in your voice. You are getting out of college early. You're leaving early. What are your plans post-college?
So I hope to further my studies in Arabic, and I aspire to go to law school to study international human rights law. And so that's hopefully the direction that I'll be going in.
Well, that's fantastic. Getting back to the scholarship that you have established, now you're working with another organization, Homeboy Industries, out of Los Angeles. What is that cooperation like? Tell me a little bit about that organization.
Homeboy Industries was started by Father Greg Boyle, who is a Jesuit, and Homeboy Industries gives the opportunity to formerly incarcerated individuals that were mainly in gangs. It provides them with the opportunities for employment and to show them that there are opportunities for them even after having been incarcerated. And so we partnered with them because we were so inspired by their mission, and also because they're rooted in Jesuit values like our institution. And so we decided to partner with them specifically with their branch called Jesuit Swag. Mm-hmm. And so when we were talking about this collaboration, Jesuit Swag offered to split the funds completely. And so when you purchase an apparel for the Majors Scholarship, half of the money is going to Homeboy Industries to support these formerly incarcerated gang members, and the other half is going to the Majors Scholarship. And so we're so grateful for this opportunity because not only are we employing these men by purchasing these shirts, but the money is also supporting the scholarship.
And what is the website to purchase these t-shirts?
Jesuitswag.com/Magis, M-A-G-I-S.
M-A-G-I-S, great. In the last moments we have, Catalina, you know, you have done so much in your young life. You're very passionate about what you do. What would you say to others in your generation who may not be as involved as you are? They go away to college and they go looking at it more like a party school. What would you say to these young people as they're getting ready to get into the workforce in just a few years?
I would say pursue what you're really passionate about and not pursue a major or a job just because it might be lucrative or you think it might be a good job, because I'm all about making your work your vocation and something that you're really that you really love. And so I've been grateful that in my experiences at Loyola, I've been able to change what I thought would be a great job into what I really love. And so I think as long as you have the right path and you're following your heart, you'll be fulfilled.
Catalina Cipri, one of the contributing forces behind the Majes Scholarship Fund, recently established at Loyola University in Chicago, the first educational institution in the U.S. to create a scholarship fund for undocumented students. Catalina, I'd love for you to come back and give us an update on America Weekend.
Great, I would love to.
I'm Valerie Smaldone. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How much money do you need to fulfill all of your dreams? Well, it has to do with how materialistic you are. Here's the social science of it. A Chicago public opinion poll asked people who made $30,000 a year how much money it'd take to fulfill their dreams. Their answer, $50,000. The researchers asked those who made $100,000 a year the same question. They needed $250,000. The more materialistic people are, the less satisfied they tend to be. What's the cheap psychological trick? Our sense of well-being is all too often defined not by what we have, but by what we wish we had. To counter this, you know, you really might want to count your blessings a little more often. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Ellen keeps her dog fenced in the backyard, so she was surprised when the neighbors sued her for injuries inflicted on their son by her dog. The boy had climbed over Ellen's fence to retrieve a ball and sustained serious injuries from Ellen's dog. Who has the legal responsibility to pay for the medical expenses? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
In court, Ellen pointed out that the boy had a choice. He could have waited until the dog was in the house. He could have asked Ellen to retrieve the ball for him. By climbing over the fence, the boy chose to take the risk, so in this case, Ellen is not liable. And that's the final verdict.